Bud will come and share the morning scripture reading.
So they went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them. And taking it into his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not only me, but the one who sent me." And now may we be granted even greater understanding of this God's word as found in the Gospel of Mark.
This was not the lectionary gospel for today. That was John 3, which the choir brought to us through their beautiful music. But I'm sticking with Mark for a little bit here as we go forward through Lent. And this is the second time in Mark's gospel that Jesus predicts his coming suffering, betrayal, death, and coming to life, rising again. And once again, his disciples did not understand what he was saying. We must confess that I think there's a part of us still today who do not understand what he was saying. Don't you have those questions that come up this time of year, like, why did Jesus have to die? Why was this the way? What does it mean? How do we understand the cross? And I promise I'm not going into all of that, but I read this really pointed commentary this week that I must share with you. She said it so well. Jesus didn't die in order for us to receive God's grace and forgiveness. Jesus died because he was revealing and preaching and showing God's grace and forgiveness. Jesus died because the establishment, the conventional wisdom, could not tolerate, could not embrace the radical grace of God, the radical message of love and inclusion. Not in order. Because. And he did not turn away when that was where the path of radical grace and love carried him. So then they came to Capernaum, and they were in the house, probably Simon Peter's house, actually, if we follow the logic from earlier in the gospel. And Jesus says, "Now, what was it you were arguing about?" Some translations say discussing, but I think arguing probably gets at it. You know, maybe they had gotten to arguing because when you don't understand what your teacher's saying, it makes you a little anxious and worried and uncertain, doesn't it? And then it's kind of easy to get into an argument with somebody else. Probably didn't hurt that there were, in terms of the tendency to argue, that there were two sets of brothers in that band of 12. You wonder about the dynamics and how they played out. But he says, "What were you arguing about?" And they say, and they don't say anything, because they had been arguing about who was the greatest, who was the best, who was his favorite, who had done the most miracles, who had done the best at bringing people to him. I mean, who knows, right? All those comparative, competitive things that we all have in us, that for most of us start like as soon as you have a sibling or a friend or a classmate, and our school system and our sports and our legal system and our every kind of system pretty much feeds that competitive comparative. Our advertising and commercial systems certainly feed that way of experiencing ourselves in the world. And he says, if you want to be first, you got to be last. You've got to be servant of all. True greatness is not based on winning or beating someone else out or being better than. True greatness, Jesus taught, is based in humility and service. Whoever welcomes this little child welcomes me. Children are always vulnerable, dependent. Look at Zephy, look at Sam, even Elena. Yet in that day, they were even more vulnerable. They had no legal standing. Families could do with a child whatever they wished, and no one would intervene. It was not uncommon in the Roman Empire for unwanted children, babies, literally to be thrown away. In fact, a beautiful fact is that the early Christians came to be known as people who would rescue those thrown away children and take them in. Early Christians created the first orphanages in that part of the world. Whoever welcomes the dependent, the vulnerable, the powerless, the marginalized, welcomes me, Jesus said. It's another version of that Matthew 25 teaching, right? Whenever you receive and help and visit and care for the least of these, you care for me. It's so countercultural, isn't it? Counter every culture at every time, I think, that we know about. The notion that greatness comes in identifying and caring for the marginalized, the powerless, the vulnerable. It's such paradoxical good news that greatness comes through service, not through force or might. That greatness comes in letting go of trying to push our egoic way forward, and instead in sharing in love. I thought this morning driving in, there's a lot of greatness in this room, in this sanctuary right now. A lot of great people who do so much without trying to be great. You don't do it in order to be great, again. Because of God's love in your life, you love other people. You care for the earth, you care for the tree, you care for the water, you care for children, you care for the poor, you care about trans people and gay and people and the ways that people are getting persecuted. You care about what's happening in Gaza and Israel. And you do acts of love and service. And you know, the service, I mean, we did talk a bit in Bible study that the welcome, the other word that's used here is receiving such a child. That's a stronger word than, not that this isn't important, but that's a stronger word than just charity. Handing, you know, packing a lunch, which is good. Passing on clothes, which are good. Welcoming and receiving is about taking someone into your heart. Right? It's about embracing and taking in and being willing to be in solidarity with those who need it the most. Jesus doesn't just tell us to live this way. Jesus did live this way and died this way. And Jesus gives us, by His Spirit alive in us, the power, the grace to live this way. Open-hearted, open-handed, open-minded, willing to welcome, able to welcome and receive. Even I heard it in Amy being stole, even her ability to ask us to pray for that man out of her past, randomly sending her a certified letter condemning her life. Thank you, Amy, for your ability to not just share your hurt, but to share your understanding that he needs prayer. You gotta wonder what his sexual orientation actually is. Really? After 30 years? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? That is the way forward. The way of love, the way of openness, the way of taking into our hearts, and by God's grace, God's radical, amazing grace, knowing that we are loved, we are able to share love, to serve, and to trust that somehow our serving, our giving, makes a difference in the world. None of you do it to be great. You do it because it's who you are. Thanks be to God for the love that is in you, that is in us, and the ways we are empowered to share it with our world.